meeting to what?
Continue.
That's something new that Zoom is doing now. When the recording starts and stops, they want everyone to know. I think there was a lawsuit or something happened. If you also notice, if you enter the meeting, sometimes it'll pop up and say, this meeting is being recorded. Would you like to leave? So it's just an announcement that the meeting is being recorded.
Andrea turned on the recording, so it just...
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
All right, thank you. If everyone is comfortable, I'd like to call the meeting to order. I don't at 6... I don't see the 6:41.
3:32 on our end.
What time do you have?
3:33.
I'm sorry, 3:30. Yeah, excuse me. I'm looking at local time here. Well, actually, no. I'm looking at something that is not giving me accurate time. So let's use your number. Is what 3:33? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we'll accept the agenda as written. Is there any public representatives, Andrea, requiring an announcement?
There is not, but I did just want to tell you on the approval of the minutes, we have the date there. The date there is incorrect. That should be June the 8th on the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Well, we just approved the agenda, not the minutes yet. So we'll get to that in a minute. In any event, should public representatives wish to participate, they may do so within a 3-minute time limit, which is the policy of the district board. But at the moment, we have no people to that end. Note that the minutes have to be amended on a item IV. Should read June 8th, 2021, Andrea? Instead of July?
That is correct. Just on the agenda.
On the agenda. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the June 8th, 2021 meeting?
I move they be accepted. Or so, okay. I'll second to Letty's motion.
Okay. Thank you, Les.
And so indeed seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. I understand Conrado's not available. Is he on vacation in Mexico or just doing business?
Vacationing.
I'm sorry?
Vacationing.
Vacation. Okay, so we'll...
I don't think he's in Mexico, though, Arthur.
Someone told me he was in Mexico. Letty told me he was in Mexico.
Oh, I thought he was in Spain. Okay, well, you may know more than I do, Letty.
Well, she knows. Letty's the president.
He needs to be consistent with the stories he's telling then.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not in Cuba.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank God. That would be a mistake. All right. Well, moving right along, if I can invite Chris as Chief Administrative Officer to report on item 6, in this instance, the leasing update.
Well, let's first start with the Chief Administration report. So in your packet, you'll see the report indicates that we have completed the preliminary audit work. We're getting ready for year-end work that we're working through this month. The auditors will be in the office, so to speak. We're going to do it virtually again this year still for the year-end audit work. So one other item of note is we spoke last month about Mr. Frederick Supple that had passed away, who had been a previous board member with the district, and under a grandfathered lifetime insurance coverage plan for certain directors, which he was the last of several, that the insurance premiums benefits would terminate or discontinue upon Mr. Supple's passing. He does have a surviving wife. We did research, legal counsel and I, to determine that yes, in fact, the survivor does not continue with coverage under like CalPERS and that. And we did not have any policy internally that continues any coverage for a surviving spouse of the prior board member.
I thought the letter that was written was very good.
Mm-hmm. So, so just wanted to have that as informational for the committee so that that's made transparent. So unless there's any questions there, we'll move on. So moving to the leasing activity, we've been working pretty diligently to get some renters into some vacant spaces. There will be two lease agreements that we'll be presenting later in the packet, so I won't go into detail on those. We had also talked about Dr. Kim and a behavioral health component for a psychology group. He's kind of gone silent a little bit on me. I'm going to follow up with him to kind of see what his status is, because he was looking at it pretty urgently earlier on. So we can move on from that unless there's any questions. Hopefully we'll have 100% leasing if we get that.
When was the last time it was 100% lease?
To my knowledge, not in many, many years. Certainly in the 7 years that I've been here, it has not been. And it used to be several years ago, my understanding that it was, you know, like 60 or 70% capacity. So so I think we've been doing pretty good in the 90s, and it would be exceptional if we could get 100% occupancy.
Excellent, excellent. And we're not going to go out and look for another building at this point in time, thank you.
Not today.
Okay. If we can move on to the financial reports, if there's any commentary about the financial statements, I'd like to focus people's attention to page 17, which is
I have one question. It's really quick. On page 9, I was just curious about the different amount paid to Visión y Compromiso, which was $40,000, whereas everybody is getting $30,000. I know some of them got more than one payment, but it was always $30,000 for the second payment as well. So I was just curious about that.
Letty, what are you looking at?
What's the page? It's not 9.
9?
You're looking at the foundation. You're looking at the foundation, I believe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I made my notes. Okay. I'm closing my mouth up. Sorry.
Okay. We'll get there.
Okay. Yeah. I have no notes for the district, so it's going to be quick on my end today.
Okay. Thank you. But if I can focus everybody to page 17, which is really the bottom line of the year-to-date budget versus actual, we have a $1.9 million excess, which if you go back into the details, you'll see that there's on the one hand, some excess revenue, and on the other hand, there's some diminution or below budget expense performance. And my reaction to that is that the budgeting process was obviously fairly tight. If those kinds of variances demonstrate a bottom line move of 1.9 million, which is not—
Wait. I don't think that's an accurate portrayal of what happened. I think a lot of that is the money that was not spent on grants.
That's not true. There's only a $36,000 variance in the grant expense. You'll see that on line 7,000.
Oh, so they've already taken out the money? They've already rolled over the money for next year?
Yes, we have accrued, and that's one of the points that I wanted to make. Based on what was approved at last month's board meeting, we have accrued the balances that we talked about. So 1.8 right. million on the district and 730,000 on the foundation. So
okay, that's great. I just would have liked to have that explained. That's all.
Well, you just did. You know, but the point is, again, if it demonstrates the tightness of the budget process, and Chris, you're to be commended for that. Thank you very much. It's right on. Doesn't get much better than that.
Some of this too, we did some very conservative budgeting, obviously going into the COVID or in the midst of the COVID process. And, you know, we came out, you know, looking very favorably overall, because, you know, we did not expend a lot of the overhead dollars as a result of our, you know, working remotely. It's amazing how many dollars we can save by remote work versus, and that's just kind of a plug, because the remote work that we've done, I think, has been extremely efficient and cost savings in a lot of ways. And, you know, when you're not traveling all over the valley and to different parts of the Southern California, you know, we save a lot of money, and I think the virtual meetings have been successful. So
right,
that's my little plug there. I'll keep going.
Yeah, and when you look back, and when you look at the behavior of the board over this past year, there wasn't anything of significance that was requested of us that we had to defer for financial reasons. So when you put that all together, it's just a really excellent annual performance. And when you get to the balance sheet, you'll see that it dropped right to the bottom line of the balance sheet, which is great. On page 18, you'll see
I want to note that these are all preliminary. They are still subject to any adjustments that we'll be making as we work through the year-end process and audit functions. So
fair enough.
Can we go back to page 14, please? I'm sorry.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm still a little confused, because it looks like the only thing that was over budget, that our income was over budget a little bit because of property tax mostly. And then when you look at all these expenses, they were all under budget.
That's correct.
Except for the plaza. So why is there only a $36,000 net income?
That's not, you're reading the wrong line.
Okay, well, that's because we're going back and forth. You just said something about, you were looking at grant expense. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, your comment is related to grant expenses because of the accrual. I was looking at the bottom line, which is $1.9 million.
Okay, Arthur, may I please make a suggestion or a request? Is that we
please, go right, go order. Ahead.
If we could go through this in order by page, and that way, if there's a question, that's what threw me off. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I'd be happy to do that. Does anybody have any concerns about item 7, number 1?
Item 7, number 1. I don't know what you're talking about.
District and LMPM financial statements, pages 13 through 23. I'm trying to accommodate your request.
So he's going, so the financial reports are item 7, and he's going 7.5,
Select
7.6.
7.1. 7.1 of the financial reports.
I'm on page
14.
I'm on page 17 now.
Okay.
I'm on page 17, and I'm now caught up. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody have any questions about the accounts receivable aging? I do, but I'll defer if anyone has any other questions.
Great. What page is that?
Page 24.
Okay, how about if we say, okay, are there any questions? We're on 17. Any other questions on 17? If not, we'll move to 18.
You want to go page by page? Okay, yeah. That's fine.
No questions on 18.
Okay, are there any questions about page 18?
No.
Okay, any questions about the balance sheet, which the first page of which is page 19? The assets.
I don't have any questions. It looks like we've about almost $2 million more assets than we did last year, which is—
Yeah, exactly. And page 20.
And is, okay, never mind.
Page 20 and 21 go together, actually, because they're all assets of varying kinds. Page 22. If not, looking at the liabilities and equity, the most important number on this page, folks, is the change in the total equity. And you can see the line above that, below 3,900, is the increase of 1.9 million, which is the result of the money, the accounting for the excess income over expense from the P&L statement. Okay, if there's any other, no other questions about that, the next agenda item is page 24, the accounts receivable. I have a question, but I'll defer in case anybody else does.
No, I don't.
Okay, Chris, question to me is what is the procedure, and this is just educational on my part, what is the procedure that we use for write-offs, if there are any?
We traditionally don't have any write-offs, but if we do, then we remove the receivable from the balance sheet and expense it as a bad debt expense.
No, I understand that, but is there a counter signature to the recommendation you make for a write-off if there would be one?
It would be approved by the CEO, and then we would communicate it to.
Okay. Okay, that was my point, that we need to ensure that if there are write-offs.
Rarely does that ever happen. In the 7 years that I've been here, the only time that occurred was last year when we had the one tenant who bailed out due to COVID that had an outstanding receivable balance that we brought to the finance committee and communicated that we would write that off.
Okay, that's fine. You know, in the private world, that's a point of vulnerability in the audit check and control process. Obviously, you've just advised us that we do have a disclosure process, and that was the basis of my question. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So not basically, you've also said it's a non-issue. So that's even better.
Yeah, it is, and you can see from the AR aging report on page 24, when you see all those negative numbers, that means that our tenants are prepaying in most instances. So those payments are received in June, but they're actually for July rent.
Excellent. Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that. Okay, anybody have any concerns about the deposits on pages 28 and 29?
No.
Moving to the check register, pages 30, 31.
If you don't mind, could we move back to 27 just for a brief moment?
Sure, go ahead.
This is on the property tax receipts. I just wanted to point out here that if you look at this has a comparison for the two fiscal years. And if you look under the actual receipts column for both years, you'll see last year was 7.1 million and this year is 7.7 million. So, you know, it's a pretty substantial increase. And I think that's, you know, goes along with what we've talked about consistently, that the pandemic has, it went completely the opposite from what we were conservatively concerned about, where property values have just been increasing with all the real estate sales and the values going up. And so, so from our property tax receipt standpoint, and that's kind of reflected in what Les was talking about a little bit earlier, why our cash balance is kind of roughly up a couple of million dollars too.
So. My sense is that trend will probably continue based upon the pressure on home prices. They're going through the roof, and
it certainly will this next year because people bought their houses this last year.
Is not going to change for those people.
Right. The challenge is supply. The demand, I think, is still there, but the supply is very limited.
Chris, can you remind me what our annual budget for tax receipts is for 21-22?
Keep talking and I'll check real quick.
Okay, because so last year we ended bringing in almost 7.8 million.
Right.
And the question is, how much more are we projecting, if any, for this next year?
Well, I think I've gone a little bit conservative. I don't think I went that high.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions regarding the property tax receipts?
I'm conservatively in there at 7.3 million.
You're sandbagging, man. That's great.
That's called a cushion.
If you're polite, it's called the cushion. If you're not, it's called sandbag.
I like to hit the budgets, not miss them.
Okay. But
Chris, do you think that because of the values and the receipts actually anticipated to continue to be as strong and probably a little bit higher, that we get to adjust that budget prospect a little bit closer, or to be realistic so that we know how much money we really will have, or do you propose to leave it as at that amount?
Well, and we, if you recall, we changed during this last year to where we're recording the actual receipts as they come through. So what I think would be best to do, let's see what happens with our receipts that we receive in the next larger ones would be in, say, December, January. And if we're looking at where, you know, really hitting, exceeding substantially, you know, we'll be projecting higher as a result of that.
Okay, so mid-year then. Okay.
Plus, Letty, the bottom line reality is that when the money comes in, you'll know how much more you have to spend. It'll be in the bank.
I like to be able to forecast. So, but that's fine. That's a good plan then.
And I think internally we can determine too, based on what's happening, if we're, you know, because professional services, I mean, you know, to me, that's a little bit of a wild card, depending on how much we're having to expend with regard to our hospital lease situation. And it could be that we could, you know, grant out more monies too, when we see, you know, where we're at.
Plus the investment expenses and bonds funds and all that could mess things up a little bit. I know we've been conservative about it, but I don't expect that to get better. I expect it to get worse. In fact, evidence the last few weeks is it's going to get worse.
Right. So.
Okay. Any other questions related to the property tax, the revenue anticipated? If not, we can move along to page 28 and page 29, the deposits.
No questions.
Any questions? All right, the check register on page 30. Very interesting.
CVAG payment of 1.6.
Yeah, exactly. That's really smart. I mean, with all due respect, I had nothing, wasn't involved at the time, and just such a huge amount of money. Every time I look at that number, I think of where we could deploy that money in a more impactive way. But it, again, it is part of our commitment, and we have to honor that.
When is the next payment to CVAG anticipated, Chris?
They're annually in June.
Okay.
Annual payments. Okay. Any other concerns about the check register?
We've made 2 of 6, so there's 4 remaining.
Okay, thank you.
We've paid how many so far, Chris?
2 of 6, we have 4 years remaining.
Okay, wow. Okay, is there any issues relative to the credit card detail? There are no extraordinary expenses there. That I can see. Any other concerns regarding the check registers? Page 33. Okay, the retirement protection plan on page 34.
You'll see there we're down 3 participants from the month of May. So we saw a little bit of movement in June. So
did they take lump sum?
It's all lump sum right now. It's just depending on whether they take it directly or roll it over to an IRA.
Okay.
It's lump sum disbursements from the.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Am I correct that they also, the number goes down as people die?
Yeah,
that's a form of leaving employment.
If they die on the job, then yeah, they leave as well. We do have 7 annuitants. So in that regard, yeah, that goes away if people die too. Those people are fairly old. So
okay, unless your favorite schedule on page 35, the grant payment schedule.
I think I've got it figured out finally.
Attaboy. Wonderful.
You'll note on that the last line of the grants is where we've accrued the 1.8 million.
That's what, zero.
Yeah, that carrying forward into the next fiscal year.
Excellent. Okay.
You might, for the board meeting in 2 weeks, since you have had a tradition of highlighting that line, you could highlight it so it draws our attention to that is the balance available forward that it's been done.
Are you talking about the accrual going forward?
Yeah, that there is no more accrual. Well, on the, I'm sorry.
There's no more excess.
Are we talking about two different things here?
You want the zero balance highlighted or do you want the accrual that we did highlighted or both?
Somehow the fact that where you took the money from last year and moved it into this year and have now a zero balance, there ought to be just a little highlight there so that I wouldn't have asked my silly question earlier.
There are no silly questions, only silly answers. Okay, point well taken.
Just a suggestion.
All right, item number 7 on our agenda, Las Palmas Medical Center, the fire sprinkler agenda.
Excuse me, we need to approve the financials.
You're right. You're actually right. I'd like a motion to approve the financial reports as submitted, recognizing that the year-end reports are basically conditional upon final year-end entries, if any.
Donna, you had a question?
Yeah, I was just going back to the grant payment schedule. I just wanted to clarify with Chris.
Now that we're going to start the new fiscal year, those other grants that are up on top, they will come off, right? The ones that have the zero balances?
Yeah, everything that's zeroed out will.
Yeah, okay. Because I know sometimes we get questions from other directors that want to know why they're still on there. So.
Yep, that comes off the end of the fiscal year.
Okay.
Everything that's at zero balance, Donna, is that what you asked?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
On the right hand side of that, anything that's zero will go away.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, John.
Okay, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the financial reports as submitted, recognizing they are conditional upon final year-end adjustments if any should occur.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, signify aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
So moved. The matter's carried. Item 7 on the agenda, Chris, is the opening of the Las Palmas Medical Plaza fire sprinkler system bids and the issues related to it, please.
Okay, so as you recall, over the last few months, we've talked about the interior fire sprinkler work that's been needing to be done at the Medical Plaza. We initially tried to do work on an individual basis with tenants. That didn't work out very well. So we ultimately had approved to go out for a public bid. The preliminary estimate by the architect, and this was not done by any kind of a takeoff by any means, just kind of a shot in the dark, but range was 250 to 300,000. We did do a public bid process, was publicly advertised, etc. Very difficult to get a broad range of interest in it. The amount of, so my voice is getting softer. Is that any better? I don't know why it is, but all right, I'll try to speak up. I'm not sure why it's not picking up.
Yeah, you were like fading out. I could hardly hear you, unless it's, maybe it's just me. I don't know.
I'm hearing it okay.
Okay.
You were fading out a little bit ago, Don. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you were fading in and out, Donna.
So
thanks. I thought it was just me.
So anyways, So we had a pre-bid conference earlier last month, I guess, and we initially only had one general contractor that was present, and that was the bid requirements was that the general contractor had to be present for that meeting. During there was also a subcontractor that's an installer of fire sprinkler systems that was present, but was not represented by a general contractor. Because they were present, we did talk with legal counsel to see if we could modify that language for the pre-bid conference to allow any bidders that were prospective bidders that were there to be able to provide an actual bid on the project, but they did need to partner up with a general contractor to submit their bid. So at that point, we anticipated that there would be potentially two bidders on the project. Ultimately, there was only one bidder, which was the general contractor that was present at the pre-bid conference. So the bid that is a valid bid. All the requirements were met. The bid amount is $498,000. The subcontractor of the general contractor is very, very knowledgeable of the project. There, as a matter of fact, the subcontractor that that the district had paid previously to do the plans for the work that's needing to be done there. The project is quite unique because it is a building that has several tenants in it. So we're going to have to work around tenants' business schedules, working after hours on evenings and weekends. There will be several start and stop kinds of situations, which will require multiple inspections. Just the nature of the cost of this type of deal from a labor standpoint, which also includes prevailing wage. And then in our current environment with pandemic, which is causing increased prices with materials and labor and construction times, the cost of this is, $498,000, but it's work that is required to be completed by the city on an individual basis. If we were to, continue to require the tenants do it each time they did TI work, it would be more costly than this. And it's work that's needing to be done. It would be beneficial to the district to be able to complete this project. We have it scheduled for a 90-day turnaround on it if we can be successful in getting the tenants to accommodate that type of schedule. But we'd like to get moving on it as soon as possible because we do have the season approaching where there will be larger population and the medical providers will be much busier with patient appointments and that. So if we can get going on this sooner than later, is the anticipation of staff. So
I move we accept the recommendation.
Well,
I second. Let's
see if there's any questions for the discussion. I have a couple of questions, Chris. Is this a complete 100% job or is this a fraction of, is there any fire suppression system in place now that this is adding to, or is this 100% install?
This will complete 100%. We do have all of the exterior infrastructure work done, which we did that over the last couple of years. So
there's nothing to compare it to. It's not a fraction of a project that's been done. Okay.
No, from the interior standpoint, we do have a few of the suites that have been completed. But so this is the remainder of the suites, which is probably 2/3, probably maybe closer to 3/4 of the entire square footage that still needs to be completed.
Okay. Is this a pass-through item ultimately in COLA, or is this something that's capitalized for us on the building?
It'll be capitalized and expensed over a 10-year period.
Okay. Any other questions that may... Okay. I have a motion on the floor from Dr. Zendel to approve.
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So moved. Thank you very much. It's a little. I have one other question. You know, it literally, you know, according to your commentary, we do have a capital reserve. Now, should there be capital items going forward that are unanticipated? I assume we have the flexibility of drawing funds to support other capital items if they would be so necessary.
We do. It's just it would be brought to the board for consideration of approval on that. And what we're approving here, we didn't bring an actual contract. Just the public bid was done last Thursday. So this is asking for authorization to bring the full contract to the board for approval. So
thank you. Will it come to us or it'll go straight to the board?
It'll go straight to the board.
Okay, thank you.
It'll have all the details that we've talked about here. It'll just be our official construction agreement that will be approved by our legal counsel.
Thank you. Item number two is the lease agreement for Suite 207, Desert Oasis Healthcare.
Okay, so this is a suite that's been vacant for probably about 3 years now. Desert Oasis Healthcare has leased in the facility before. Dr. Congress, as several people will know, had leased a space in the building for many years, retired not too long ago. This is a different suite, a little larger. They are wanting to put in I think it's a nurses administration operation into this suite. They're asking for a 3-year lease at $1.75 a square foot. The tenant improvement allowance, they had asked for actually higher than $20 a square foot. Traditionally, we would offer probably at a maximum of $15 a square foot for a 3-year lease. However, and additionally here too, they're asking for a period of rent waiver to be able to get the tenant improvement work done. And what we're finding, not only with this particular lease negotiation, but with the next one as well, is that, again, with the construction cost of materials and the cost of getting labor to complete the work and timeline as well on a construction schedule, these things are not happening as they were prior to the pandemic. So staff has looked at it as that we need to be a little bit more flexible to compromising on a little bit more of on the tenant improvement allowance, as well as accommodating some waiver of time before the actual rent starts. And this particular one, the lease date would start September 1st. Rent would start on March 1st of 2022. They also are asking for a 1-3 year optional term to extend with 2.5% increase on their annual increases. Normally we do 3%, but we have in the past done 2.5% with basis. So the recommendation would be to approve at this. The net lease income on the first 3 years would be $62,000. That's after the $20 a square foot plus the broker commission of $3,700.
Any concerns, any questions that before we take action on this? If not, I'd like to call for a motion, please.
Can I just ask a quick question? I was a little unclear. Are the providers that are going to be there clinical providers, or is it mostly an administrative site?
They indicate nurses administration, but I think nurses that will be working at the hospital, I believe is my understanding.
Okay.
Oh, Linda says it's case managers.
Case managers. Okay, they're administrative people, but they're at the hospital.
My question, Chris, is this something that we've done before, provide waivers for that length of time?
We did with Palm Tree Clinical a couple of years ago, because that was a major, major TI job. This one, these two suites that we're talking about right now, there's pretty extensive TI work that needs to
okay.
be done.
Okay, so there's justification.
Yeah, and also additionally too, I mean, with the construction environment that's going on right now, the contractors are extremely busy. So the time, the ability to get a quick turnaround on the extent of the TI work that's being completed, as well as getting materials, not only the cost, but the time of ordering materials and being delivered.
What's the anticipated length of time for the tenant improvements to be completed?
They anticipate completing it in that 6 month
okay.
Wait period. So
I'm just wondering about whether, because you just mentioned about the difficulty in getting workers and supplies, that it won't exceed the 6 months then.
No, they're tied to March 1st as being their start date for rent, whether they're completed with their TI work or not. The rent starts on that date.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions before we call a question? May I have a motion, please, from the floor?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Aye. Do we have two votes? Do we have a third vote on this question, Dr. Zendel?
Aye. Sorry.
Okay, he has voted more than once, but he will only be recorded once. So we have unanimous approval on item number two. Let's move on to suite 101 Global Premier Fertility.
Okay, if you recall last month, we brought a potential lease agreement for this organization, Global Premier Fertility. One of the concerns that they initially proposed was that rent would not start until June or till July of 2022. That was unacceptable. We've been working, negotiating with the prospective tenant, and also looked at this as the rent starting on March 1st as well of 2022. This one's considered a 7 month waiver because they will sign the lease effective August 1st. They would just like that extra time to be able to get the tenant improvement work done as well. This is a larger suite, so I think it's justifiable to be able to go that route. This is also a 5 year lease. And this one we've negotiated, and obviously subject to committee board approval. This one, the TI allowance is $40,000 or $24 a square foot. The base lease rate is $1.80 a foot. You know, it's a 5 year lease with 3% annual increases and also an optional 5 year extension.
Any questions? Again, this is just to keep this in context. These folks were very aggressive in their negotiating posture, and Chris's recommendation, in my opinion, is consistent with getting them into a more comfortable, compliant position with our philosophy. Deferring for a year would not be acceptable. They've accepted that. And the compromises of meeting them halfway are well within reasonable limits today. Any other questions? Any concerns?
Recommendation.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, aye. The motion's passed. There's no item on here for new business, but is there any new business before the committee before we adjourn?
I have one question about where this actually was brought up by Arthur earlier this week about, and Donna, I believe we talked about this, you, Conrado, and I think there might have been other people, about the cooling centers. And have you gotten any requests from them for any financial assistance?
Well, we had approved, if you recall, a couple months ago at a board meeting, not to exceed $20,000 to pay for utilities if they were going to go through the three centers like we did the previous year. But they did not get Cathedral City or Desert Hot Springs. So at the United Methodist Church is the only one that's got the cooling center. Greg did put through a request that Conrado and I had looked at previously, that they said the extra dollars that they would not be spending on the utilities in Desert Hot Springs or Cathedral City, could that help go towards paying for the room that the homeless will be sleeping in, because the church will be losing out on that income that they usually rent out. So we said yes. So Greg now has sent in a request from the church for, I think it's like it's a little bit over $17,000, that we don't see a problem with that, just giving them the whole 20 and let them use it as they will, what they need it for. But Chris is checking with Conrado when he gets back to see if he's okay with that.
And then will that just go to the board next week, a couple weeks from now, for approval? Or
well, you approved the $20,000. So, I mean, it was, you know, for utilities, but this would be for the other costs that they're incurring, because there's no cooling center in DHS or Cathedral City.
Unless you feel that it needs to come back, the board's already approved $20,000.
No, I don't. I just
what I would like, though, and I guess we can talk about this when we have our pre-meeting, but if we could just be talked about as an FYI, not as an approval item, but an FYI to bring attention to the fact that we are doing something to address the situation, so that if there's anything else that we need to be doing, that we have an opportunity to, you know, to consider it. So,
well, I would be a little more direct in that we know that Palm Springs it has in front of them having to move to a new facility in a very short period of time, and are having to go with another provider, if I can use that word. And is it appropriate to reach out to the city manager of Palm Springs and or the mayor of Palm Springs to say, you know, if you need more money, we're here for you? Or is that against AB, whatever it is?
Well, the question is, how can you isolate Palm Springs compared to the rest of our catchment area?
Because the shelters and the cooling centers are serving the West Valley, and it's mostly it's mostly the people that are unable or unwilling to go to the two shelters in Indio.
Well, I don't want to violate the Brown Act, so maybe we shouldn't get more into it, but maybe, Donna, between now and Tuesday, when Conrado gets back, that you can talk about this issue that Arthur brought up earlier this week about what could we be doing, and we should be doing more to address
I was looking at it from an unmet need caused by the spike in the temperatures. You know, that may be beyond the planning profiles of what the agencies are doing. But if you're not hearing about it, Donna, then saying they're operating within their capacity.
Well, there are the regular county cooling centers, but those are just for the day. The one at the church is the 24/7. And that's not a drop-in. That is kind of like by appointment only, because they have got extensive case management. And so they really are looking to not just enable, this is Greg's words, but the people that are coming in at the Methodist Church, they really are working really, really hard to get them into permanent supportive housing and get the wraparound services that they may need. We do have an open grant with Martha's currently. I wouldn't be, you know, surprised if down the road CVRM comes in, because we don't have an open grant with them. But then again, you know, Riverside County Partnership, I forget the name of it. the organization, yep. Letty, the Community yeah. Action Partnership. Yeah.
Yeah, but my specific concern was the temperature being what they are, generating unmet needs at the overwhelming capacity, and that there needed to be I'm going to call it, for lack of a better word, an emergency allocation of funds to assist the providers if they were being maxed out. Now, based on what you just said, it sounds to me like they are still within their capacity. That was the nature of my concern to Letty and Robert.
Well, I'm not so certain that they are, I think that they need to be aware that there might be some funding available. I don't want them to be having to make tough choices because of that they have their budget set. So I wanted to put as an FYI in the agenda so that if there is something more that we should be doing that we can be doing. But I'm really cognizant of the fact that it's not on the agenda today. It's just as a financial issue, though, as a matter of concern. Is that if we could direct staff to look into this and put it on the and put it on our radar?
Yeah. The only thing I would add, and it was that I didn't add, and I think that Donna brought up the point. This really is all being coordinated through Greg Rodriguez in the county. And the nice thing is, I think Greg knows we're here. And
what makes you say that?
Isn't hesitant to come to us if he feels that there is an unmet need.
Okay, well, that's the point.
I think it would be great.
He will. Yeah, he will.
But I do think it would be great, Donna and Chris, if you could remind Conrado to remind Greg. I guess that's the path that should go. That we're here and interested in making sure that people don't fall through the cracks during the hot summer.
Thank you. Any other concerns before we adjourn, ladies and gentlemen? If not, I'll call the meeting to close at 4:24 Pacific time. And with your permission, I'd like to move straight to the foundation agenda. Is that okay with everyone?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to call that meeting to order at 4:24 Pacific time. I request a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye. 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 Okay, we're moving along. If there's any public comment, you'll let us know about that. Andrea, is there any public comment at this time? But should there be, anyone who wishes to talk about something not on the agenda is welcome to do so for a period of 3 minutes, consistent with the board policy in that respect. This item 4 on the agenda is approval of the correctly noted June 8th minutes of the foundation. Do we have a motion to that effect, please?
So moved. Second.
All in favor, say aye. Thank aye. You very much. Aye. Dr. Zendel said aye mentally. Thank you. We appreciate
it. When two people talk at once, you can't hear both.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on the CEO agenda given Conrado's absence at this point. Chris, would you mind walking us through the financials beginning on page 7?
Actually page 4, I think.
Page 3.
Okay, yes, the cover starts on 3. So page 4, you'll see that presently we're showing a net loss of $831,000. This does include $730,000 that was accrued for the grant expense that we had talked about last month. One of the things that we are still waiting to understand from our auditors is how we need to book or record the remaining balance of the pass-through monies from the county and that, whether we're just doing the quarter that has been approved so far or if they need to accrue the entire amount. So that ultimately could change this bottom line number before all the audit work is done. So just wanted to highlight that information. There will be probably a loss of some sort, but it may not be as large depending on what needs to be accrued ultimately.
Okay. Any other questions about the P&L on page 4 or the balance sheet on pages 5 and 6? Hearing none, moving on to page 7, page 8,
an allocation of restricted funds, how that looks compared to our own internal funds. So you can see that the assets that we have of 7.3 million, right in the middle of the page where it says total assets, that 6 million of that is committed to outside resources, meaning grant funding, et cetera, as well as the internal monies that we've received from PHI and the county for the CARES and ELC funds. So,
other restricted funds?
Yeah, so that's all under the restricted funds. The general funds is the $1 million is essentially that's what we have available for internal resources and reimbursing the district for overhead costs.
Thank you.
Same be true in the liabilities side too?
Well, that's what the assets are restricted for is the liabilities.
Yeah, they line up, they match up.
Right, okay.
Okay, any questions about page 8, the deposits? Okay, page 9 would be the check register.
This is the page that I had a question on. I was just curious, Donna, maybe you can address it. Is that the check 5227 for Visión y Compromiso was 40,000, whereas all the others were 30. I know some of them were received two payments, but I was just curious why Visión y Compromiso got the 40 instead of the 30.
I am going to defer to Alejandro on that because this is a combination of ELC 2 money, ELC 3, the Public Health Institute. And so these things are very confusing. And I'm going to let Alejandro explain that one.
You're absolutely right, Donna. Thank you. So what it is, President De Lara, is that some organizations have fully spent down some of their original grant dollars. As Donna mentioned, we have quite a few funding streams for our COVID work that we're doing through the collaborative. So the payment that you see there is from $125,000 from an ELC2 contract that, you know, was paid out to Visión y Compromiso, which is a different amount because we receive more grant dollars from the county and also PHI. So that's why you see the discrepancy there on the grant award dollars, is because they're tapping into another funding stream that was given to us by the county or Public Health Institute.
That was not available to the other organizations?
They were, but the organizations haven't fully spent down the other grant dollars. So they haven't tapped into these new allocated dollars for that particular organization.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, any other concerns about that? If not, page 10, your credit card expenditures. Chris, there's a notation about a reversal of expense. Are you missing brackets, or am I misunderstanding it?
No. So what happened is that there were two charges for the rental vehicle that we're using in the month of May. And so what I've determined and learned that Enterprise, what they were doing up until mid-May, so we rent the vehicle on a monthly basis. So prior to that, they were charging us at the end of the 30-day cycle. So the first $1,200 was paying for the period of April 15th to May 15th. Then when we renewed for May 15th to June 15th, Enterprise changed their process to where they're now paying up front or charging us up front. So that's And the description will end up needing to be changed on there. We just noted that way until I could get figured out with Enterprise what they were doing. So that's accurate. It's just that they're charging 2 months worth in 1 month, but it's the change of how they are charging. The first one is at the end of the period. The second one they started charging at the beginning of the next period. So
okay, then it crosses a fiscal year, so you have an adjustment to make for that as well, I assume.
We'll take care of that accordingly for
when you close the books
for June 30.
So. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions related to that? How going forward? How long do we anticipate renting the car for?
I suppose until we get the medical unit.
Okay, which is scheduled for when?
10 months.
It's 10 months out now at this point?
Yeah, it's as you heard previously with the building supplies, that also has impacted the automotive industry. So the timeline for delivery of the mobile unit is anywhere between 8 to 10 months, and we're looking closer to the 10th month mark.
Okay, thanks, Alejandro. Okay.
And then we'll determine internally, you know, if the pickup is needed even throughout that period of time or not. If it does, we'll continue. If not, we'll adjust accordingly.
Okay, understood. All right, moving along to the general grant schedule. Dr. Zendel, what questions do you have?
I'm happy to see a highlighted line at the bottom that says balance available for grants programs.
Okay.
Which is what I was talking about on the last one.
Okay, any other issues related to the grant distribution? If not, I'll call the question for the acceptance of the financial report, folks.
I move approval.
Second.
All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we have unanimous approval of that. We have one additional item, which is item 7, which is a contract services agreement that, Chris, would you mind introducing that subject?
If the committee were recalled, a couple of months ago, we brought to the committee a contract service agreement for NY Duarte Strategy Group, who had created a application software to help facilitate the registration of participants at the vaccination sites, which has been extremely helpful and useful for especially the large population of vaccinations that were going on. So the committee and the board ultimately approved a $25,000 agreement, which $5,000 of that was for the application development, and $20,000 of that was for operational support for the months of April and May. I learned recently that the individual continued working through the month of June, although we did not have a consulting services agreement in place for that month. So what we're doing is bringing an addendum for the additional $10,000 for the month of June to accommodate this extended work period, and asking the committee to approve this additional $10,000. The individual, I understand, is no longer working as of the end of June 30th. And so the total expense for this service agreement is $35,000 and is covered by the CARES ELC funds that are provided by Riverside County.
Is this an item that requires formal board approval in terms of authorizing public funds?
Yes.
Yes.
So then we're really not in a position to do anything other than to make a recommendation to the board but we're not in a position to authorize the disbursement. Is that correct?
Yes.
If that's the case, what I would suggest, is there any reason why this wasn't approved in advance, Alejandro?
Yes, Director Sherwood. We did not, as you know, the COVID-19 initiative is a moving target. And when we initially brought on the consultant to help us out with the vaccination clinics, we did not foresee going into the school sites to actually do the vaccination sites with all three different school districts. And that is the reason why we informally extended, her work period for an additional month, because we were having anywhere between 4 to 5 daily vaccination events throughout the three school districts. And she was helping out with registration and also, assisting me with the day-to-day operations at each of the individual vaccination clinics in partnership with the school district. So that's where the additional month came into play. When the original contract was drafted, we did not have any plans to actually be doing the vaccination clinics inside of the schools, but then that opportunity arose and we did not want to miss that opportunity.
I understand that, but having spent 30 years in the consulting world, I can tell you that I never had the audacity, or as they say back in my neighborhood, the chutzpah, to engage in professional billing without an authorization. And since we're a public agency, I would expect any one of our consultants to A, know that we're a public agency, and as such, what you call an informal authorization, notwithstanding the time frame, is something that isn't appropriate. Now, is this going to come to the, if we approve the agenda item for consideration, will it come up on Tuesday?
It will come up there whether we approve it or not. I suggest we recommend that it be accepted by the board in 2 weeks.
Okay, I have no problem with doing that, but I think
one thing to point out here too is that, and I don't know that it makes a big difference, but this is the funds are the CARES funds that are coming from the county. It's not the district's funds, but we are stewards of those resources. And so in my opinion, it should kind of follow a similar approval process.
I'd like to suggest, and I'll be happy to do it over my signature as chairperson of this committee, that we advise the consultant that the recommendation is pending at this point. Payment is pending at this point, pending review, formal review and approval by our board, so that our skirts are clean. I'd even be happy to send a copy to the county so there can be no mistaking that we do not engage in an informal authorizations now and going, more importantly, going forward on this or any other consulting relationship. Everyone needs to know that public monies can only be spent through a formal process, and I would recommend support for writing that letter over my signature.
I don't think I understand the need for that letter, and I don't think this committee has the authority to send a letter to a grant recipient. I think if Conrado feels there's a need for that, he can do that. But we approved 2,500. They need an additional 25,000. They need an additional 10,000. I think the explanation, although I agree it should have been done a priori rather than in retrospect, I think it's a reasonable thing. They provided a service for $35,000 worth of stuff. And so I would recommend that we forward to the board with a recommendation for approval. But I'm not comfortable with the finance committee sending anything to a grantee.
Okay, that's fine. But my concern is making sure that everyone in our organization knows that informal authorizations contracted services, worthy or not, is not within anyone's purview to do. And it's not clear to me at this point that that's clear.
Well, I agree that there's nothing can be informally authorized.
Well, it just, well, you just heard Alejandro say it was.
Well, okay, but the board could vote not to approve this.
No, no, I'm not suggesting not approving it. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm perfectly okay with the recommendation that it be approved. I'm much more concerned about the agenda going forward, not the $10,000.
Chair Short, just so you know, also with all of the majority of the items that are forwarded to the board from the F&A committee, this will go into the consent agenda. A board member, if they're uncomfortable with it, can pull it from the consent agenda to discuss. But I also think Director Zinda, what Chair Short is saying is that he just wants to ensure that staff advises our, any of our consultants when we're working with them, you know, not to bring back something that hasn't been authorized, that the board has to initially authorize
everything. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. They should.
That's what I want to accomplish, Les. I'm not invested in the letter. If the letter is bad, inappropriate, I'm okay with withdrawing that recommendation. Does it have to come in on the consent agenda just because it's a part of our meeting and withdrawn, or can it stand on its own?
We could ask that it stand on its own.
Can it stand on its own, Andrea? Can we just make that an agenda?
Absolutely can. And we will remind President DeLauer when we review the agenda and Vice President Borja that this was something that was directed by the actual F&A committee.
Okay. And again, it's not about the 10,000. It's not questioning the efficacy of the work product. It's more procedural recognizing our fiduciary duty to the community. That's all. Okay, if that's the case, the recommendation is to move this issue to the board for consideration of payment. Is there a motion to that effect?
Could I revise my motion, which I think will satisfy you better than just approving it? I recommend that we approve forwarding this to the board for approval and ask that staff remind all of our grantees that things need to be done before the money is spent, not afterwards, or however language it is. You called it prior authorization, that we don't do prior authorization before the board has approved things.
This is not a grantee, Les.
It's a consultant.
Contract.
It's an extension of a contract.
Contract, right. And the minutes of the governing board will represent that satisfaction of your recommendation, Les, if I'm not mistaken. If and when the approval goes through, well, even if it doesn't go through, there'll be that recommendation from the board to all subsequent contractors that we are not anticipating to respond to informal authorizations.
Chris, how would you word it? What direction do you think you need to make sure this doesn't happen again?
I would just like to see it be on the record that the board reaffirms the principle that all contracts are subject to board approval before expenditure. And expenditure.
Chris, will that do it?
That's fine, yes.
Okay.
Okay, so a motion on the floor by Dr. Zendel as stated.
Second.
Letty, do you have anything to add? You're being quiet.
I thought what Les was proposing was satisfactory, I'm okay with to let staff make notification to all contractees and that that they just need to get prior authorization. So I'm okay with the motion, and that's why I second it. So nothing else to add.
Good. All in favor of this motion, as stated by Dr. Zen.
May I say something before you vote?
Sure.
To me, it's not about notifying the grantee or the contractor, whoever it is. To me, they are the ones that are following our direction. And we should be internally understanding that if the contract did not allow for the additional work to go into June, that is our responsibility to be able to say, hey, whoa, we need to bring this additional addendum to the contract, whatever, through our normal processes before you do the work, because you're potentially out on the line if for some reason the board does not approve it. But to me, I think it's an internal communication to our people that that we do this, not a communication necessarily to the
It's both.
Yeah, I think that's a point of clarification. And that's really the thrust of what I was trying to communicate as inefficiently as I said it. But that's exactly the point, that our staff needs to advise any and all contractors that a termination date on the contract is a hard date and needs to go beyond that, require formal authorization by the governing body. So I think we're all in agreement. We do have a motion. We do have a second. We actually even have a second with a clarification. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the motion. We will convey the agenda to the board. I recommend it stand as a separate item so it doesn't get lost in the consent agenda. Andrea, please.
Andrea, could you, if Chris is comfortable with this, could you check the wording with Chris to make sure that it reflects the kind of confusing thing that we kind of just did?
Well, it doesn't reflect.
Well, are you referring to the line item on the agenda?
No. The verbiage that we added about reminding staff and contractors that prior approval needs to be made before there's over whatever the word is.
Right, and I will basically most likely use, Chris reviews the minutes. Right. I'll probably use Chris's language. Great. Based on, you know, what you all are suggesting, and he makes a really valid point that staff should ensure that everyone, all contractors know that everything must be approved by our board first before moving forward.
Right.
In other words, unofficially authorized work will not be paid.
Will not be paid until approved, if and when approved. Right, exactly.
She fully understands that that's the thing. That's why we brought it to program, to F&A committee, to hopefully get approval. And she understands that payment is not going to come to her until the items go through the appropriate committees and board approval. So she's right, well aware of that, of the situation. And to the discussion, yes, I made note of all the different recommendations and policies moving forward to ensure that this not happen. This does not happen once.
Excellent. And the key words here are in advance. So I think you actually articulated the concept very well, Alejandro. Thank you. If there's no more business before this committee, I would like to recommend adjournment at 4:50 Pacific time.
Thank you
very much for your attendance. Thank you very much for your participation. And thank you, staff, for your work. We do appreciate your efforts. They do not go unnoticed.
Arthur, stay warm. Stay warm, Arthur. Warm and dry.
Well, yeah, I have to get my rowboat out of the living room.
Before we adjourn, we are dark in the month of August, so there will be no committee meetings or board meetings. Unless
yippee.
Well, Letty can call meetings if she wants to.
Well,
yeah, you can call a meeting. All you gotta do is find us.
I'll call a meeting and nobody will show up. How's that?
I like those kind of meetings.
There you go. All right, folks. Stay safe.
Excuse me, Chris, don't leave. I have a question about something. Don't leave, Chris, please.
Okay, all right.
Okay, all right. Goodbye, all. Thank you.
Okay, bye. See you later.
Bye-bye.
So it's just something about Desert Regional. And I couldn't find it in Dropbox. They sound a little unorganized over there, but the lady that took Kathy Carter's place, Diana, is looking for the 2018 bylaws for DRMC that the board approved. I found them, but what they're looking for is a signed copy that Carol signed. And what she used to do was, instead of emailing it to us, I think, she would just take it over there to them to get it signed. But I don't have a record of having a signed copy that has Desert Regional's signature and our signature. Carol was the president at the time.
Good question. It would have gone to the board meeting, but I don't I mean, that, let me